welcome back to another Dialcast podcast with myself, Chris Durkin, and joined by Adam. How you doing, Adam?
I'm very well, thank you, Chris. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Dial Square flying, aren't they, in pre-season?
Yeah, a few more wins since we last spoke, and obviously we're looking forward to speaking about those wins in due course in this podcast.
Yes, we will be speaking in this podcast. Great news yesterday with the signing of Jim Ward, centre-back. That's going to be very good. Looking forward to the season. Your thoughts on that signing?
Yeah, it looks like another good signing on the face of it. A man with experience in the non-league. So looking forward to seeing what he can bring to the club.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to in a minute to the man coached him before, Richard Keown, in a second. But first of all, talking about last week's podcast, the Don was on. And since then, thank you very much to the Scandinavian supporters branch, because they're now sponsoring him. And I think they may even double it if he goes averages a certain amount of goals this season. So we're looking forward to that. But anyways, without further ado, let's welcome in this week's guest. Hello, Richard.
Hello, lads. Cheers for having me on.
No worries. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. I must say, coming on last week's podcast with Nick, after about 20 minutes, sort of felt like I was listening to something off TalkSport, if I'm honest, yeah.
The best stuff only for Dial Square. They'll be all thinking it'll be even better than TalkSport after this one, Richard, with yourself. Let's get to know you, mate. What's the background for yourself?
So, yeah, I've always been a football man, always kicking a ball around as young as I can remember. Started playing football probably about competitively. I think I remember my first game being about when I was 6 or 7. I played for a little team called St. John's Reds. I was their striker. They folded after a few years. I moved into London for a few years from Woking. My brother was a professional at Millwall, or signed pro contract at Millwall. We went and supported him. And then I stopped playing football for a couple of years. We were travelling around with my brother. And then we came back to Woking. I signed for a club called Woking Cougars, which was brilliant. You know, we were a really good Sunday side. I was about 9 or 10 then. Centre forward, scoring lots of goals. Yeah, continued in that vein into my high school years. Was a district captain, county captain. Yeah, represented a lot of good like football association sides, like your Woking District, Surrey County. And then just progressed into like good non-league level of football in terms of an adult. And then booze, gambling and women hit me. And it all went pear-shaped.
It all went pear-shaped. What a bad influence.
No, I'm joking with that. Yeah, no, I got into, I was playing for a side called Guildford and Godalming youth team. And that was a good level of youth football, play against some good academy sides. And then, yeah, I went into the non-league game quite early because obviously my size, and I did all right. And yeah, I just stopped playing football when I was 22, 23. I had a really bad injury away from football, which we won't talk about, but I had a bad injury and yeah, it stopped me playing. And then as soon as that happened, the next best thing was to coach, manage, and just continue in football. And having the experience of being a captain, majority of my football from kid level, even right up to adult football, you know, even when I was certain clubs, I was captain at a very young age. So certain qualities sort of stood out. So when I stopped, I just had to carry on in some vein. And I love being around the lads. I love the training. I love the socials. And I couldn't keep away. So I ended up annoying everyone and coming back as a coach.
You did indeed. We're going to pick up with that a bit more with Adam in terms of the coaching. But first of all, going back to that point, so your brother, professional player for Millwall, was that a big influence in you liking football?
Yeah, definitely, because there was a 10-year age gap between us. So when I was like 6, he was 16, he was having trials for England. He'd just left Chelsea. He had loads of clubs after him. I used to love going to watch my brother play football. Unfortunately, we lost our father when I was about 6 and he was about 16. So the main reason we went walkies around London and wherever he played his football was to support him. So yeah, he was like a father figure to me. I was young, I didn't really remember my father. So yeah, in terms of the football though, I used to, yeah, love going to watch him. And I remember him playing at the Den, and yeah, he was like God to me. So yeah, I always wanted to emulate that as I was growing up myself. Unfortunately, I wasn't as good as him, but I was still, I could hold myself, like I said, at district level and county level. Yeah, I wasn't a bad player back in the day when I was growing up as a kid. And I weren't a bad player when I got into my adulthood. But yeah, injury put that to a stop quite early. And then, like I said, the next best thing was to just carry on doing what you were doing. And when I used to play, I used to virtually coach teams when I was playing anyway. So when I was at the back, I went from a striker. I think as I got older, the bigger I got, I ended up going from a centre forward to a centre half because I was a bit of a lump. And I was just sort of coach teams from the back anyway. So yeah, it was like an easy progression, if that makes sense.
And then with that coaching being all the way through from the age of six, I guess, up in your youth days, or was it starting to develop as you got older and older, thinking maybe leaving the playing side and getting to the coaching?
I always had that in my mind when I was like 18, 19. Because I used to always get quite good responses out of people. I was quite switched on in terms of how to get the best out of people around me. So yeah, when I was in defence, yeah, I was constantly barking orders. And you know, when you play football, you get a lot of lads that bark and make a lot of noise, but a lot of the things they're saying are absolutely rubbish. So when you've got someone on the pitch that is barking out good orders and constructive, you know, information, you know, I sort of knew I had that coaching, managing sort of thing in me. Yeah, and it progressed quite quickly when I stopped playing. Yeah, it moved on quite sharpish. And I look back now, when I stopped playing, was it 10 years ago? Probably a bit longer than 10 years ago I stopped playing. I haven't stopped since. Coaching, managing, doing whatever I do. Yeah, I haven't stopped being involved. I haven't had a year out at all. So, yeah, I've worked hard, achieved what I've achieved. You know, some good days out, some good cup finals, won a few leagues here and there, been involved with some good squads, been involved with majority of all the local clubs around the area. So, yeah, it's something I'm proud of.
Yeah, we're going to get onto that success in a bit. But in sort of growing up again, going back to thinking about the coaching, was there any coach from a club that you looked up to or a manager?
Yeah, loads. Yeah, lots of guys. A guy called Roger Steer that was used to play for Woking, managed Guildford and Godalming, back when Guildford and Godalming were a good side, remember, like Ryman level. He was also my Sunday league manager, and he turned our Sunday league team into a Guildford and Godalming youth side. Him especially, a guy called Ian Savage as well. Was a pro at Southampton. Lots of people I've worked with down the years, especially when I was getting into my later teens, and you sort of appreciate their work in the game and what they're trying to give you. Because when you're young and that, you just want to play football. So when you get a bit older, you start to realise, you know, these guys are trying to help you out, and there's a lot of energy that goes into coaching and managing and preparing things. You have a lot of respect for him. Yeah, so yeah, there's probably a few people I've missed out on that. But yeah, another guy, John Meppham. He was a bit of an arsehole, but he was good. he had a different way of doing things. So yeah, I've nicked a little bit from everyone and sort of just tried to be my own person, I guess. But yeah, lots of people I look up to when I look back on it.
Yeah, that's a great encouragement. And then thinking about, you said the love of football when you were younger. Was it also a love of watching football? Did you have a football team?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm one of them Southern Man United fans.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
How many times have you been to Manchester?
Oh, yeah, I knew you were going to pull that one on me. unfortunately for you, I was at the Man United Manchester City game and Rooney scored the overhead kick.
There you go.
And I was behind the goal. I had the best seat in the house. So that question's backfired on you.
What a memory. Does that stick with you for life?
Yeah, it does, yeah. Because it went down as the Premier League's all-time greatest goal. It was an important goal that day. United ended up going to win the title that season. But yeah, any sort of football that's on, I always watch any football. You know, I'm eager to go and watch any non-league game that I can. So, you know, later on tonight, I'll probably go and try and watch a game. Football's football, isn't it? You know?
Any soft spot for Millwall, knowing your brother played there?
Nah, not really. Nah, I don't really have a soft spot for them. Nah.
You can't really have a soft spot for Millwall, though, can you? Like, you either have a hard spot for them or you don't.
No, I don't have a soft spot for them. I remember going to watch one of their games. And, we left at half-time, but this was in the 90s. So you can imagine what it was like.
Millwall in the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, it weren't great. No CCTV and... Yeah, it wasn't the place for a young child, put it that way.
No, surely not. So Man United, you went to the Man City games. Did you try to get there much a season?
Well, it's been difficult down the years for me because I'm always at football. On a Tuesday night, I'm at football. On a Thursday night, I'm at football. On a Saturday, I'm at football. But yeah, I've nicked a few games down the years. Everton, United, Everton, Scholes, he scored a screamer. Been to watch QPR, Old Trafford. I think I've been to Old Trafford 3 or 4 times. So it's not too bad for a lad that's from down south, is it? Eh?
It's not too bad at all. I know many people that haven't even stepped in Manchester.
Them tickets are gold dust as well, let's be honest.
Yeah, they are. They are. So fair play to go into them. Predictions for this season? Hopeful for the league, maybe?
United, no, I won't be shouting the league just yet. I think it's always tough, isn't it? You know, when you're looking at all these sides and the money they spent and... I don't think you can really look at the league table till about Christmas.
Yeah.
But I'd expect Champions League qualification. And I think Ollie needs to win a trophy, even though he signed a new deal. He needs to win a trophy this year.
Are you an Ollie fan or not?
Yeah, I am an Ollie fan. Yeah, he's brought back some of the principles of Man United. And I think that's important. So even if we're not winning the trophies, you sort of see where he's going. And there's lots of young English players in the squad. There's lots of attacking football. Yeah, he's been quite clever. It's quite handy that his checkbook's open to him. But he's been good with his signings as well. I think his recruitment's been good. They're not Mickey, they're not bad players. They're not Mickey Mouse players that are coming in trying to rob the club like certain individuals have down the years. Yeah, I think Ollie at the wheel's good.
And going back to your experience in football, obviously you've said you've played in football and obviously coached in football. What's sort of been the standout memory during that period?
I think it was when I was a bad boy once. So I had a bit of a reputation for getting myself in trouble. A few red cards here and there. And one of my managers, it was 11v11. All the subs were made. And if I remember rightly, we were drawing and I was getting mouthy with him from the touchline, from the pitch. And he made an example of me and took me off and made the team play with 10 men. And then I sort of sank click to me. And I was like, you can't disrespect your manager, even if I was the captain. And then I ended up letting my team down because he had took me off. So I've had lots of good successes and trophies and good, yeah, but that always sticks in my head. Good discipline, respect, and try not to let your teammates down.
Did those lessons that you learned as a player, like, did you take those into your coaching days and kind of talk to your players and say, look, this is what I've done, don't do this sort of thing?
Yeah, you need to put them laws down quite early or else people start taking liberties. And we had one of them, funny enough, on Saturday. I won't name his name. It was last week. It was a good stamper. You know, you got taught a little lesson at half-time and then it rubs off on everyone else. So, yeah, you have to put your little markers down here and there, and Si's good at that and I'm good at that and we back each other. But me personally, that was something I remember because I remember letting my team down and I remember thinking, oh, you can't keep doing that. When you play with people and you coach and manage lots of players, you do have a few idiots in the ranks at times that want to go around and do silly things and let the team down. So it's important that you don't have that. And it was a good lesson for me, that.
And obviously, you spoke about all your experience in coaching. Obviously, you've decided to join Dial Square. What sort of brought you to Dial Square and what vision did they sell to you when they came?
Well, it started that about a year ago, I joined a club called Ashford Town in Middlesex that was at Step 4. And I was going to go and work with an old friend of mine that had a job there, which was a massive opportunity for me. And I was buzzing to do it. Unfortunately, I lost my mum, and that was just after COVID. Then I had a baby, and I sort of lost I sort of lost some of my drive and I just wanted a year out of football. So I stepped away from football and was like, no, I'm going to have a year out. And then Si approached me about the Dial Square and I wasn't really up for it to begin with. Yeah, I just weren't, I weren't up for football. My love had gone. My drive had gone. I think the passing of my mum sort of took the wind out of me a bit. And then we went for the meeting with Stuart, the chairman. And then as soon as I started hearing the vision, the fans, the backing, all that sort of stuff, it was quite fascinating, actually, for a club of this size that has only just been, you know, put together, and just how much backing they have. I was so shocked by it. You know, people from around the world buying Dial Square shirts. You know, some of the clubs I've been at, they'd be happy to sell a scarf and a mug on a match day. So on that side, it was fascinating to see, you know, how much hard work people are putting in, like you guys doing your podcast and Stuart putting his effort in, and like the amount of people that chip in and do what they do, and the amount of people from, I know that sounds stupid, but around the world looking in on this little team. Yeah, that sort of swung it. And I thought, no, why not? And I've worked with Si. Si's a great guy to work with. Yeah, brilliant, brilliant lad, good manager. Yeah, we've worked together a few times, always been quite successful. And it was like, why not? You know, we can get a few lads together here and smash it up.
Do you have sort of a strong relationship with Simon off the pitch as well as on the pitch?
Yeah. Yeah, really close. Yeah, really close. It's not often he buys the beers, but most of your managers are like that. Yeah, you never see him at the bar. He just sits on the table and everyone brings them to him. But yeah, no, he's a good lad. Yeah, we're good friends off the pitch. Known each other a long time since we was probably about 14, 15. And he's had some moody haircuts down the years and all. But yeah, no, me and Scott getting all right. We're getting all right.
And then in terms of obviously coming into Dial Square, sort of, did you know some of the players that were already here, or sort of, and how have you found the players you didn't know before?
The lads that are originally here, I didn't know any of them. The lads that have all come in, know most of them. But the blend between has been really good. Yeah, it's been really good. You know, you won't look at your phone for an hour or two and you've got 200 WhatsApp messages. The banter's flying. They're all getting on. They're all good lads. They're all of different ages. The lads that were previously at Dial, yeah, I've been impressed with a few of them. There's still a long way to go. So I'm not going to shout out any names and, you know, make him feel too special, because we haven't got rocking yet. So still a lot to prove.
And in terms of like your coaching style, sort of how do you view that? Sort of, do you basically want to work them really, really hard, sort of especially in the pre-season period? Or is it sort of more of a relaxed and let them kind of do it themselves sort of thing?
So at the moment, obviously most clubs at this standard train once a week. We train once a week, and I personally feel within that once a week, I'm not going to turn them into supermen in terms of fitness levels. So I've been asking them to do a lot of work out of football, cycling, swimming, running, whatever they choose to do, boxing. And I ask them to put it in the group so others can see what everyone's doing and egg each other on. So in terms of the fitness, that's going to come from themselves. And I will do my bit at training, but they've got to do a lot of work away from our training sessions. But yeah, when they come training, yeah, they know they've worked. They'll always come off of a sweat, put it that way.
And then in terms of obviously, like, we've got the fans coming back this season, how important do you think they're going to be in the players, you know, sort of getting behind them and hopefully drive us towards success?
Yeah, it's been quite surprising to see how many people actually follow this team and they're looking at the club and buying the shirts and things like that. And I think that's a massive thing for anyone playing at any football level, you know. This level, Premier League level. Yeah, to see, you know, I go on Twitter and someone in I don't know, Sweden's got a Dial Square shirt and you think, wicked. You know, if you can go out on a Saturday and score a few goals and the matey boy in Sweden's having a great time of it, and that's just, yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's quality. So yeah, it's good to have them all back. I don't know whether there'll be hundreds and thousands of them on the sidelines, another matter. But yeah, it's good. You know, we've had a few lads come down and watch a few of our friendlies. You know, one geezer I was speaking to, he'd come from Hertfordshire. I don't know, he'd come from miles away. And I was thinking, bloody hell. So when the league starts and hopefully we're doing what we should do. Hopefully there's a few more people there. But yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, it's all good. It's happy days.
Yeah, hopefully even more people. I guess Saturday, another pre-season game at home. It was a away game last Saturday, though. Do you want to talk us through that 2-1 win? What happened? You were there.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Yeah, that was quite a tough game. They were a niggly little outfit. They were a fit little side. I would probably say the average age of their side was a lot younger than ours. Yeah, they made it quite difficult for us. We went 1-0 up. Your man at the moment, the Don, he's hit a volley from 6 yards off a Jimbo flick on from a long throw-in. That was a good goal. Yeah, then we've conceded straight after that, and that was really disappointing. So you go 1-0 up, and then bang, they go and score. 1-0 at half-time. Personally, I wasn't too impressed. Me and Si put a little bit of a rocket into him at half-time, and Miles better second half, change of formation. But it's a new side. A lot of these lads ain't played together. There's a handful that have. There's a handful that have stayed from Dial. So you're getting pockets of players that have never really all played together. And to go 5 wins and, you know, in pre-season, and they haven't even really got gelling yet. So yeah, it looks positive. But, yeah, that was a tough game Saturday. A few leagues above us. But with the players we got, I'd have been very disappointed if we go and lose a game like that.
Yeah, and then you talk about the gelling, and then earlier you mentioned the WhatsApp groups, I guess. How is there any other ways you and Simon, as manager and coach, are trying to get them to really gel together, get used to each other as a new squad?
Well, there's lots of ways you can do that. You can have nights out. You can have team bonding days. There's already been one night out, which we won't talk about.
Do you remember it?
Yeah, I do, yeah. we won't talk about the night out. Then things stay, you know, at home. Yeah, but one night out. And there's, loads of things we do. And after training, we might pop in somewhere and do, you know, a certain way or a beer or... Yeah, the boys are gelling really well. And that's the most important thing, is to all start getting on instantly. And there's a few alpha males in the team. And sometimes when you get 4 or 5 lads that are alpha males, it sometimes can rear up. They're all getting on, you know, the ship's sailing well. So long may it continue. But yeah, there's loads of ways you can get on. But yeah, I think everyone's getting on really well. And that's the key to any football club you've been at or anywhere you go. When you get sides that get on and lads that like each other, 9 times out of 10, that's where you do well.
I guess it's definitely helping the results as well. 100% win ratio in pre-season.
Yeah.
It must be helping.
Yeah. Yeah, of course it does. And winning games, it builds that momentum, and the momentum that you take into the season. And even though the pre-season games, you don't want to lose. And the boys have been fantastic. And, you know, I don't think we've probably fielded the same 11 the whole way through pre-season. And Si will know his strongest 11, I'd say. So it'd be good to get, him out there and the league starting and doing what we've got to do. But yeah, I don't think, anyone's seen anything from us yet. We're just touching base at the moment. We're just getting going. So expect a few big results in the coming months when the season starts, 100%.
And now got the addition of Jim Ward. You've coached him before.
Yeah, Jimbo's, he's a special character, Jim. Bit old school, been around the block, played for a lot of good clubs, captain again. I see a lot of myself in him, where he goes about his business. He's great, yeah, he's massive to have a club like us, because he won't let people get above themselves. So once you win 2 or 3 games, and everyone starts getting too excited, he's the sort of lad to just bring them all back down to reality and remind them that, you know, it's a long season. Yeah, he's a proper leader, old school, proper old school defender. Heads, tackles, kicks, no nonsense, absolutely perfect for this level, in the age he's at now as well. Yeah, Jimbo's a huge sign, a good character, loves a bit of banter. Yeah, he ticks all the boxes, absolutely every box.
And then moving on for the rest of the season, what sort of aspirations do you have for, like, yourself and the team for this season? Is it promotion? Is it winning the title, cup finals?
I think Simon's probably the best man to answer that, but in terms of setting goals and things like that. But I'll try and speak for him on this. Obviously, be a massive disappointment if you didn't win the league. But, you know, you don't want to start shouting your mouth off too early. You know, you've got a few good players and things like that. You don't want to start winding people up. So give others respect, yeah. We're going to be a cup final for a lot of teams this year. And you can slip on a few banana skins every now and then, you know. But obviously, yeah, we want to look to get promoted. That's got to be the aim instantly. You know, you'd like to throw a cup final in there, wouldn't you? But then, you know, am I getting greedy with that? So, yeah, I'm not one to shout my mouth off about what we want to do and what we want to achieve. You just go into every game, try and beat who you've got to beat. And then the closer you get your hands on a trophy, then you can start shouting your mouth off. But it's a little bit too early to start irritating a few other teams and saying we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But I'd be very disappointed if we wasn't in and around the mix.
And sort of regular feature we do on this podcast is get the fans involved through Twitter. So we have a question for you from Barry. It's sort of quite poignant, actually, in the fact that you've spoken about some sort of struggles you've had in previous years. Where do you see yourself in 5 years in terms of your coaching career or just life in general?
Well, I'd like to think I'll be sitting on a beach in the Caribbean, getting my head massaged, having a beer. but the chances are that ain't going to happen. So in 5 years, coaching, I don't know. And again, I don't like to jump into the future and things like that. And we'll see what happens. You know, if I enjoy my little stint here, I'd like to say in 5 years' time, we'll all be on the Dial Square fan base and on the bus and that once you get momentum in football, a little club like this could just snowball. So hopefully, maybe here. But yeah, unfortunately, in five years is quite a long way. So can't really answer that. But I'd like to think it'd be here and us doing all well and everyone's all happy.
No, that's brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. We appreciate your time. And yeah, it's been a really enjoyable podcast. And we wish you all the best for the rest of the season.
Yeah, happy days. Cheers, boys.